Great, thank you, Ben. As Claire said, do keep that open on page 78, just so you can see that what I'm saying is what God's Word says. And you should have a handout as well, headed "Have a Break, Have a Sabbath" with apologies to Kit Kat. And be helpful to follow that both as we go through, and you might like to make notes if you find that helpful. But also, there's quite a lot in today's message, and lots to think about, so it'd be good to take it away and reflect some more during the coming week about what I have to say. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that you are sovereign and you are good. We thank you that your word is given for our good and for our blessing. And we pray that you would help us to see how that is the case as we think about the fourth commandment. And please would you help us to go out to live to your praise and glory. Amen. A few years ago, the pollster YouGov did some research. They asked the question, regardless of whether or not you're a Christian, which of the Ten Commandments do you believe are still important principles to live by? Nearly everyone said, you shall not murder and you shall not steal are still important, so that's a good thing. But then the percentages dropped. And we probably won't be surprised to hear that the first four commandments about how we relate to God were considered less important than the second six about how we relate to other people. But at the very bottom of the list was the fourth commandment. Just 19% thought that it was still important. 73% thought that it wasn't important. Since Sunday trading began, Sunday's become just another day. At the same time, stress-related illnesses have increased. Many people are exhausted. Here are some of the things I'm sure we've heard others say and that maybe we've said. I'm too busy. There never seems to be enough time. I haven't had a moment. Haven't got a moment to spare. I can't cope. And of course, this can apply to us as Christians as well, can't it? In many ways, it can apply even more because as well as work and family, we want to serve the Lord as well. But it raises the question, is there a link between the stress and the overwork of our culture and the abandoning of the fourth commandment? Well, after a break last week to think about our vision for 2020, we're coming back to working through the Ten Commandments. God has rescued his people Israel, and he's now teaching them about what he's like and about what it looks like to follow him. And today we come to the fourth commandment. We'll spend a few minutes understanding it, and then we'll spend a good amount of time thinking about, well, what does this look like for me in 2019? And as I've said, there's lots in this talk. It'd be really helpful to take the handout away and to think through what I say and look up the Bible verses as well. And do come back to me if you've got questions or comments. If you think I'm barking up the wrong tree, do come back to me. So first, understanding the commandment. Have a look at verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your town. Well, the gist of the commandment's clear, isn't it? Work for 6 days, then have a day of rest, a Sabbath. And this applies to you, Israelites. It applies to your children, your servants, even your animals are not to work. And God gives reasons for the command. So in verse 8, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. When God says remember, he doesn't just mean bring it to mind. He means do something about it. If I said to Alice, I've remembered it's our wedding anniversary. It's not today, by the way. But Alice would be upset if I didn't actually do something about it. I've remembered, so here's a card. Here's what we're going to do. In fact, I'm so romantic that this year, for our 15th wedding anniversary, we climbed Ben Nevis and stayed in a tent. But that's another matter. Remember by keeping it holy. That is, by setting it apart from work for God. So one of the key reasons for the Sabbath is that it's a weekly reminder that we are not God. We're human, and we need to rest. You may know that Thursday is my day off. When I say on a Wednesday evening, I'm not going to do any work tomorrow, I'm forcing myself to trust God that as I stop my work, the world will not come to an end, the church will not fall apart. For you, you're saying that school or the business or home or whatever won't cease to function as you stop your work. We're admitting it's God's work, it's not ours. And I found that's amazingly liberating to know that, that it depends on him, not me. Second, how we were made. Verse 11. In 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. God looks back to creation. He says, this is the way it's been since the beginning. I made the world in 6 days, and then I rested. And I made you in my image to be like me in some ways. I've made you in such a way, this is how you best function. 6 days of work and a day of rest. So follow my example. In obedience to me, because you know I'm good, and in awareness, this is how I've made you. There's a third reason in the equivalent passage in Deuteronomy. So Moses restates the Ten Commandments in chapter 5, and the equivalent of verse 11 in Deuteronomy is this. Remember, you were slaves in Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, observe the Sabbath day. In other words, observe the Sabbath as a way of remembering that I've rescued you out of slavery. Use the Sabbath as a way of looking back to your salvation, your rescue. So three big reasons in the Old Testament for the commandment. What about the New Testament? Well, over the page on the handout. And we see how the commandment is fulfilled by Jesus and how it's applied to Christians. So we'll know that Jesus has lots to say on observing the Sabbath because he has a number of run-ins with the religious leaders. We've looked at some of the passages over the last few years where he has run-ins over healing or over allowing the disciples to pick ears of corn, amongst other things. And here are just some of the principles that come out. Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. That is, he has the right to interpret the law about the Sabbath. And the Sabbath law ultimately points to him, as we'll see in a minute. The Sabbath was given for humanity, for our good and blessing, not the other way round. Over the years, after the fourth commandment was given, Jewish lawmakers came up with 39 different types of work that are forbidden on the Sabbath. And they still apply today. You can find them on Google. Things like baking and many types of carrying. That's why when Jesus heals a man and tells him to carry his mat, the religious authorities say, you can't do that on the Sabbath. In total, there were over 1,500 rules about what you could and couldn't do. They weren't in the Bible. They were introduced by men to try to apply the Bible's teaching. But Jesus says, you're missing the whole point of the Bible's teaching. The Sabbath was made for humanity, for our blessing, not the other way around. It's a gift from God, a present for our good and our blessing. And of course, we'll be familiar with the principle that it's lawful to do good and to give life. Indeed, that's what the Sabbath is all about. It must take precedence over everything else. The second major teaching in the New Testament about the Sabbath and about rest is that our true and ultimate rest is found in Jesus. Knowing Jesus. And we saw that when we looked at Matthew chapter 11. So I'm just going to flick ahead to Matthew 11. And here's what Jesus says. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Resting from our work on Sunday or whatever day cannot ultimately satisfy. It helps, but we still have to go back to whatever we do on Monday. And many of the burdens we carry continue. But Jesus says, I will give you true rest. If you come to me, the burdens of guilt and shame and feeling like you have to do your best and you don't make the grade, all of that will be dealt with, washed away. The true rest the Sabbath points towards is a shadow of is the rest I give. So come to me. And for anyone who isn't yet a Christian, Jesus holds out this offer today. Come to me. Have all your guilt, all your shame, all your feeling like you don't make the grade dealt with. Receive the rest you're looking for. Linked to that, we see in the New Testament as well that there is an eternal rest that is still to come for God's people. So in Hebrews chapter 4, the writer makes clear the Sabbath rest that God's people enjoy is looking forward to a greater Sabbath rest, the eternal joyful rest of God's people living with their God. And then finally, there's teaching about the Lord's Day. What we find is that the Jews who've become followers of Jesus stop meeting on the Sabbath, that is sundown on Friday to sundown on Saturday, and they start meeting on the Lord's Day, Sunday, the day Jesus rose from the dead. And it's at this point there's an issue of some controversy between Bible-believing Christians about this question. Does the Sabbath teaching in the Old Testament translate to the Lord's Day teaching in the New Testament? So should Christians continue to have one day of rest in seven, whether it's Sunday or another day if they can't manage that? Or has the Old Testament teaching been replaced by the other things we've already looked at? Well, for my money and from my experience, I believe that the one day in seven rhythm continues to be a kind provision from God for our blessing. So I would say yes for all the reasons we've already seen. As I say, though, others would disagree. So where have we got to? God has made us in such a way that it's appropriate and for our blessing to rest from our work one day in seven. We do that looking back to God's creation and his rescue of his people through Jesus, and looking forward to the eternal rest in Christ that awaits God's people. Well, as I say, there's lots there. I know it's been a whistle-stop tour. Do go away and have a look at that in a bit more detail later. Okay, so how do we live this out? How do we put this commandment into practice in our lives? And I think the most important thing to realize is there is no right or wrong answer. It's a matter of wisdom, of prayerful dependence on God, asking him to show what it looks like for you in your circumstances. I hope we all ask God for wisdom about all sorts of things. There are lots of parts of life, aren't there, where there isn't a black and white answer. We need to ask God to help us. And this is one such area. But we can talk about some principles, and my guess is different people among us will be asking different questions or asking different things. And there are four on the handout, and I'm just going to go through those briefly. So first, I've got too much on. I couldn't possibly rest one day in seven. And many of us are extremely busy. We're busy with work, with family, with church, with all sorts of things. Many of us are doing many wonderful things in God's service, and I praise God for that. And it's right that we are. But if we're doing so much that we can't take a day of rest, doesn't that suggest there's a problem? Is it worth asking the question, why? After all, God's given us this loving command for our good. He wants us to be able to do what we need to do for him in 6 days. And it may be there's someone here who needs to set aside some time and have a proper think. Why am I doing the things I'm doing? How could I do things differently so I have this one day of rest? Because the chances are, if we keep going at this pace, a rest will be forced on us. As one doctor said, the periods of rest I prescribe are often Sabbaths in arrears. The other thing I'd say is that having a day of rest gives perspective. I often, on my day off, see things differently, more clearly. I see what's most important and what doesn't matter so much. I see things from a new angle. Second, it wouldn't work in my stage of life. And let's be honest, there are stages of life where it's very difficult. The most obvious is when you have very young children. When, to be honest, it feels as though you're working 24/7. Maybe you're on a 0 hours contract and you have to do what your employer says. And great wisdom is needed, and family can help, and church family can help. But without saying too much about it now, I would commend the article on the back. You'll see there are some books and some articles on the back for taking it further. And one of them is titled, Should Stay-at-Home Mums Take a Day Off? It addresses that issue, but also the principles, I think, can be applied more widely, and I would encourage you to have a read of that article if that's what you're thinking. Third, I'm retired. What does one day in seven look like for me? Because I'm very conscious there are some among us who don't have, who don't do paid work in the same way because we're retired. And it's a good question, not least because our culture tells us retirement is about sitting back and enjoying the fruits of your labor for the past 40 years. And of course, those who are retired know that that's a load of rubbish, and you wonder how you manage to fit paid work in. And actually, there's nothing in the Bible that justifies that view of retirement. And I just wonder if there is still a place for finding a rhythm of one day in seven. 6 days of some kind of work, whatever it may be, looking after the grandchildren, chores in the house or the garden, serving at church or other charity work, as well as social activities. And then one day of rest. That's just a hunch. I'd love to hear thoughts from those who are retired afterwards about what that looks like. And of course, if you are retired and you have children and grandchildren, and for those who aren't but have children, or grandchildren, do talk to them about the value of a day of rest. It's one of the many areas in which God's wisdom has a huge amount to say to our society. Well, finally, the question maybe we've all been asking, what should my day of rest look like? And again, no two people are the same, and I'm not going to prescribe what we should do, but we can set out principles. And one of the most helpful sets of principles I've come across was from this book, The Emotionally Healthy Leader by Peter Scazzero. And there's a chapter called Practicing Sabbath Delight, and he talks about four things, which I'm going to go through briefly. What does it look like to enjoy our day of rest? First, stop your work. And that's not just talking about paid work. It's anything in our lives that we consider to be work. So for me, for years, I did family finances on my day off. Until a couple of years ago, I decided, no, that's work. I'm not going to do that. Washing up, I'm happy to do because I quite enjoy it, strange person that I am. But the things that stress me out, no. Emails, no. If you're at school, take a day off doing homework, doing study. What a blessing, permission from God not to do homework for a day. Second, rest. And Scazzero helpfully points out that isn't necessarily just doing nothing. It might be if we're exhausted, but actually it's doing what replenishes us, what energizes us. If we're replenished by going for a walk, go for a walk. If it's by meeting up with a friend, meet up with a friend, and so on. Thirdly, delight. When God rested, he delighted in what he created. And for us, part of our day of rest is to delight in God's creation, to take a step back, to say thank you for whatever it is we're grateful for, to enjoy the kids playing or a sunset or a latte or a piece of music or whatever it might be. And that leads us into the fourth point, which is contemplate. This is about enjoying God, contemplating Jesus, who is our ultimate rest, who made us, who's rescued us, who will come back to bring us to be with him in perfect joy and rest forever. Part of our Sabbath rest is enjoying God. And that's why for most of us, Sunday is a great day. Because part of that rest is to worship God together. It's not possible for all of us. I take Thursday, as I've said. But even for me, part of my Thursday is to contemplate God's goodness and to enjoy my relationship with him. So stop, rest, delight, contemplate. What might that look like for you? And you'll see I've put some questions at the end of the handout. Questions like, what replenishes you? What energizes you that you could do on your day of rest? What stresses you out that you might need to stop doing? There's also some tips from another book by J. John for how to use our day of rest. We've covered a lot of ground. I hope it's been helpful in thinking about why God's given us a day of rest and how we can use it. Just to close, most of us know St. Stephen's Shopping Centre, a lovely place. And many of us will know the toy shop called The Entertainer. The owner is called Gary Grant, and he's a Christian, and he took the decision years ago not to open his stores on a Sunday. Just listen to what he had to say a few years ago. We started our business in 1981 with one shop in Amersham, and for the first 2 years worked exceedingly long hours, 7 days a week, to build the business. In 1991, I became a Christian, and then had a new set of parameters. This changed many aspects of our business, from product selection, to the way we treated our staff, to the hours we worked, and especially Sunday trading. In 1994, Sunday trading became lawful, and I was really concerned about how it fitted with my Christian belief of having a day of rest. I prayed as to whether I should open my stores on a Sunday. I was annoyed that God hadn't answered my prayers, but one night God said to me, "Gary, you've had the answer, but you've been praying for a yes." And to this day, I know that the bit in the Bible where God says he will honor those who honor him is absolutely true. I can testify that God has prospered our business as we've gone from strength to strength. The last few years haven't been easy. Many of the sites we would have liked to open have been barred from, as the landlords are only interested in people who are doing 7 day trading. But we found that our staff are pleased we're taking a stance over Sunday trading, as it gives them the opportunity to be at home with their family and their children. I'm in a very privileged position to be able to make the decision not to trade my business on a Sunday. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your good gift of a day of rest. We thank you that it is the way you've made us. We thank you that it's how we flourish. We thank you that it is a little token, a little reminder each week of the glorious rest that we have to look forward to with Jesus. And we pray you'd help us each to work out what it might look like, how we can stop, how we can rest, how we can delight, how we can contemplate. And we pray it for your glory. Amen.